G'day and welcome to Ad Nauseam Podcast. Today we're going to talk about the approach to the child with suspected foreign body ingestion. Credit to RCH for their CBG. On history, we want to know about patient factors, foreign body factors and symptoms. For our patient factors, we're aware that the highest incidence of foreign body ingestion is between the ages of 6 months and 3 years, but can obviously occur outside of that age range. We want to know about any history of developmental delay or PICA. We also want to know about psychiatric history and a previous intentional self-harm attempt with ingested foreign bodies, for example. We want to know about children with high risk of impaction and obstruction of foreign bodies, and those include pre-existing gastrointestinal tract abnormalities like strictures or congenital malformations, whether they're repaired or unrepaired. We want to know about eosinophilic esophagitis and neuromuscular disease. For our foreign body factors, we want to know what was the foreign body and when was it ingested and whether or not it's a high-risk foreign body. High-risk foreign bodies are button batteries lodged in the esophagus in particular, magnets, so two magnets or a magnet and a metal object, sharp objects in the esophagus like a fishbone, pin or a needle, lead or toxic objects that fail to transit through the stomach, large objects, so greater than 6 centimetres long or 2 centimetres wide, so an Australian coin, 20 cent, 50 cent or $1. Expandable foreign bodies, so superabsorbent polymers or water beads. Multi-component objects, so toys with lights, motors and batteries. And objects impacted in the oropharynx. Our examination is targeted to identify the unwell child and differentiate between ingested and inhaled foreign bodies. So we're looking for respiratory distress and signs of airway compromise. For ingested foreign bodies, we're looking for inspecting the oropharynx for drooling, any oropharyngeal abrasions, ulcers or lacerations. And then in the abdomen, we're looking for a tender abdomen on palpation with signs of peritonitis or obstruction with, say, a distended abdomen, for example. Our investigations are required for suspected or known button battery ingestion, magnets or other high-risk radio-opaque objects, unknown objects or high-risk or unwell children. Importantly, in smaller children, a single X-ray can cover the neck, chest and abdomen. Importantly, imaging may not be required for children who meet all of the following criteria. So they're asymptomatic, normal clinical examination, no gastrointestinal abnormalities, reassuring period of observation, they're able to eat and drink, and their ingested foreign body is all of the following. So less than 2 centimetres diameter, less than 6 centimetres long, not a battery or magnet, not expandable, and not toxic. Critically unwell children or children with high-risk foreign bodies require time-critical care. We need to liaise early with our paediatric ear, nose and throat specialists or gastro or gent surge to have that definitive procedure and consider retrieval if necessary. We want to keep children nearby mouth until we've got a plan in place. Children with esophageal button batteries, provided they're greater than 1 year of age and within 12 hours of ingestion, should have 10 mils of honey ingested orally every 10 minutes up to 6 doses. Let's go through the RCH algorithm now. Is the foreign body high risk or unknown? Is the child unwell or have they got acute symptoms like pain, drooling or respiratory distress? Has the child got any gastrointestinal abnormalities? Is there an unreliable history? Is there a food bolus that's not passing spontaneously, or is the child not able to eat and drink? If the answer is yes to any of those, then we need to ask ourselves if the foreign body is likely to be radio-opaque. If the answer is no, then we're going to be discharging with advice, which we'll come back to. If the foreign body is likely to be radio-opaque, then we'll proceed with an X-ray of the neck, chest and abdomen. If the foreign body is not likely to be radio-opaque, we're going to discuss with our subspecialist ear, nose and throat surgery or gastroenterology. Once we've obtained the X-ray for the likely radio-opaque objects, we're assessing whether or not the foreign body is either not seen, is it in the stomach or beyond, or is it in the esophagus. If the foreign body is identified in the esophagus and it's a high-risk foreign body, regardless of whether it's upper or lower, we're going to refer to ENT surgery or gastro for urgent removal. If the foreign body is in the upper esophagus, again, we're going to refer to ENT surgery and gastro for urgent removal. If the foreign body is in the lower esophagus and it's a low-risk foreign body, then we're going to observe the child for any acute symptoms, so drooling and pain. If there is no symptoms and the child looks well, it's pain-free, no respiratory distress and eating and drinking, then we're going to consider discharging with advice. If there are acute symptoms, then we're going to discuss with gastroenterology or ENT or GenSurg for consideration of a scope. For foreign bodies in the stomach or beyond, again, we're going to stratify into high-risk foreign bodies or low-risk foreign bodies. High-risk foreign bodies, we're going to urgently refer to ENT surgery or gastro. For low-risk foreign bodies, we're going to review the child and their symptoms. Are they looking well, pain-free, no respiratory distress, eating and drinking? If yes to all those, then we're going to consider discharging. If the foreign body is not seen on X-ray, again, we're going to look at the child. Are they well, pain-free, no respiratory distress, eating and drinking? If yes, discharging with advice. Button battery management is directed by the location of the battery. Time-critical endoscopy within 2 hours is required for button batteries in the esophagus. Emergency endoscopy is required for button batteries in the stomach in symptomatic kids. And expected management for batteries in the stomach or beyond without any signs of gastrointestinal injury or symptoms. For magnets, multiple magnets or a single magnet with a metallic object anywhere in the gastrointestinal tract require urgent referral to the relevant specialist. A single magnet in the esophagus or stomach needs early discussion with the relevant specialist, and a single magnet beyond the stomach, again, will seek advice from the relevant specialist. For expandable foreign bodies or superabsorbent polymers, we need to be mindful that these polymers can pass through the pylorus in their small form and then expand to be large enough to cause a distal bowel obstruction. And we need to call Poisons Information Centre and they might be able to advise us on the potential growth of that object and whether or not it needs to be removed by gastroenterology. Objects impacted in the oropharynx require urgent ENT evaluation, and esophageal food boluses that have failed the first-line management of carbonated drinks require gastroenterology for consideration of gastroscopy. Let's talk about low-risk foreign bodies now. We're going to consider discharge when the child looks well, they're pain-free, no respiratory distress, able to eat and drink, and have a reliable history of a foreign body that's low-risk that's been ingested. Discharge advice should consist of encouraging the child and parents to seek medical care or return to ED if there's any breathing problems, abdominal pain, fever, vomiting, inability to tolerate oral intake, and any evidence of GI bleeding, so melena or hematemesis. Okay, so we've discussed the approach to the child with an ingested foreign body. Thanks for listening.